Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
If the Los Angeles Lakers get their prized free agent recruit, Kawhi Leonard. Now, there are all sorts of reports flying around. We know that yesterday the Lakers were finally able to clear maximum cap room to go after Kawhi. I said, I don't know, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, right before they got Anthony Davis, that someone in the know had told me that if the Lakers get AD, that Kawhi Leonard will be strongly in play there, that he will strongly consider going to the Lakers. Damon Jones, who's a former player, former coach, good friend of LeBron James, he has said the same thing. And now it seems like the Lakers are gaining some momentum. Now, I still believe the Clippers and the Raptors are in the driver's seat and the front runners for Kawhi Leonard. But I do think the Lakers are in the game, and they have a chance. And we've had all sorts of reports coming out lately about, is Magic Johnson going to be in a meeting with Kawhi and LeBron and AD? What I'm told is that Kawhi will meet with Jeannie Buss, Rob Pelinka, Anthony Davis, and LeBron James. He'll talk to Frank Vogel, likely on the phone. That's the head coach. And that's how it will go down.
Where's Rich Paul? No?
I don't think Rich Paul. Magic Johnson, I believe Kawhi will speak to him probably on the phone, but Magic, under league rules, because he's not a part of the organization, cannot be in the meeting. So, Rob, this is what I want to throw out to you. And look, people would probably characterize me as a guy that likes LeBron. I think rightly or wrongly, they would characterize you as a guy that doesn't like LeBron. It's not that you don't like him, but that's what people would,
Know him personally enough to dislike him.
So I'm down for the Lakers, having a good offseason. I think it's great for the league when the Lakers are great, when they're in the hunt. But I'm just going to be honest. And I'm not going to hate necessarily if Kawhi Leonard goes there. But I don't think it's the best thing for the NBA.
We finally agree.
We just had – now, the Warriors, when Durant got hurt, it was different. But when Kevin Durant joined the Warriors, it was 2 years of utter dominance. Now, I know Houston took them seven. Okay, fine. Michael Jordan was taken seven by the Indiana Pacers, and maybe did the Knicks take him seven once? He went seven a couple times in the playoffs, never in the finals.
Never in the finals, right.
So that doesn't mean you're not just dominant. And the fact is there were teams around the league, good teams, elite teams, that thought they couldn't beat Golden State. They could talk all that. They put their plants' legs on one leg at a time, just like
that
we do.
That all sounds good.
Right.
But
we're human. They're human just like we are. We believe in ourselves. You could talk all that mess. But deep down, many of the teams, the good teams, didn't think they had a shot.
And here it is, Chris. This is what I keep telling people. Could they beat them in one game? Absolutely.
Right.
And if it was a single game elimination, no doubt. But when you're talking about 4 out of 7, that's the neutralizer, that's the equalizer, right? That's what separate where you can't beat
the best team typically.
You can't
wins.
Beat them right. 4 times. You might get a game. You might even get 2 games, Chris, but you can't beat them 4 times in 7 meetings. Not teams put together like that, and that is what people don't understand.
And here's the deal. So we're just coming out of that, assuming Kevin Durant leaves Golden State. And even if he doesn't, Klay Thompson's going to be out for at least half the year next season. Durant's out for all of the regular season, if not the entire season altogether, postseason included. And so next year it's going to be wide open, we think. And then even after that, if Durant stays in Golden State, they're going to have to get back up to that mountaintop. So we're about to see better competitive balance.
Which is all
that
you
want. Now, where you and I disagree is you feel like it, maybe this is a strong word, ruined the league. I don't think it ruined it. I think it was still exciting. But we did know who was going to win. And if it weren't for injuries this year, We most of us think it still would have been Golden State.
We did know. I mean, even though we could go through the whole year and the season and act like, oh, well, look at what they did. And look at what – but we knew. Chris, me and you both, we both picked, before the season started, Toronto and Golden State.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Toronto was, you know, that was somewhat of a mystery. The East was open.
But we liked the idea that once they got Kawhi, with what that team was, we know that they got swept out the year before. But if you're just honest with, they won a lot of games during the regular season, they just didn't do well against LeBron for whatever reason, a matchup or whatever. But we kind of knew what was going to happen.
Well, and we certainly knew in the West.
And we knew Golden State, despite all the good teams and all the other stuff. So, yes.
So, now, as much as Kawhi Leonard can do what he wants, as much as he's a made man and that he's already proven he can win a championship without another superstar, I don't think, as much as it'd be great for the flagship glamour franchise of the NBA, as much as it'd be great, most we think, because we're going to get into that a little bit later, great for the face of the NBA, LeBron James, I don't think, Rob, it would be good for the league overall, because it would be – this might even be more dominant than Golden State was with Durant, Klay, and Steph.
I don't know. I'm going to say I'm not going to agree with that only from this standpoint. When that team before, they had won the 73 games. They had already won a championship. So, you're looking at LeBron. Anthony Davis has never won anything. I'm just saying from the standpoint of – maybe when you put them all together, they would be like one of those teams of the ages. But coming in after Golden State had went to the finals twice, won a championship, won 73 games, and then they added Kevin Durant. Do you see what I'm saying?
Golden State fits better together. That's a team, right?
This one, but
these are three, arguably. We can argue over where Anthony Davis is. This is arguably three of the best five players in the world.
I get it, but
that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I understand that. And my only pushback is LeBron's in year 17. We saw LeBron hurt for the first time. LeBron didn't make
it was a groin injury. People overstated.
LeBron didn't make the playoffs. I'm just saying that the team lined up.
So then you disagree with what I'm saying.
No, I don't.
If Kawhi goes there, they're not going to be that dominant.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying compared to when the Golden State Warriors got KD.
So do you think it'd be good for the league? Would they be too dominant?
No, it's not good for the league. It would be ridiculous. That's what it would be. It would be absolutely ridiculous. And if you're a fan around NBA America, not a Laker fan, You can't be happy if that were to go down again. We just got out of this.
We've been excited because, look, Golden State obviously is going to take a step back. Where if Kawhi goes, say, to Clippers, or if he stays in Toronto, that's another contender. Houston, I mean, I think they're crazy, the moves they're trying to make, get Jimmy Butler.
They're freaking out when they don't really have to.
No question about it. This is the boogeyman. You know, this is being afraid of the boogeyman.
Right, where you're like, okay, let's tear up everything.
Right.
Dude, it was like just a year ago when you took him to seven games with an injured Chris Paul. Let's not make it like you got to reinvent the wheel.
Thank you.
I agree. I just think that's silly talk.
So let's throw Houston in there. So we got, let's say Kawhi stays in Toronto. We got Toronto. We got might take out Golden State, but I'll throw Golden State in. Houston. Utah's improved with Mike Conley. The Lakers certainly have improved. You have Milwaukee out east. Boston, they get Kemba Walker. They're going to still be relevant and very good. You know, Portland, you know, they are what they are. Denver's going to improve from the playoff experience.
The Clippers should be,
it could really be open. We really will be wondering going in who's going to win this. And
I'll tell you this,
for it to be another freaking soup, now I'm not even going to call them a super team with LeBron, Kawhi, and Anthony Davis. It is a super duper team.
I agree that going in, this could be one of the best. If say Kawhi went to the Clippers,
right?
You would
or
go
even stays
or
put.
Or stays put. But you would go, I'm not sure who's going to win. No idea who's going to win. It's Houston now with Golden State out of the way. The boogeyman out of the way.
Right.
Could they maybe put it together now? Remember they got off to that terrible start?
You're absolutely right.
So there's all kinds of things where you would look at it. I don't know.
And even the East, if he stays in Toronto, Toronto's not a sure thing. Milwaukee's going to improve just from experience. Philadelphia's going to improve from experience. And we mentioned Boston.
So... And then if KD, well, he's not playing, but Kawhi and the Nets.
Kyrie,
I'm just saying.
They'll be better. I mean, they won't be a contender, I don't think, but they'll be better.
But there's a lot of different elements there. So.
Right. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. We both are like, look, player freedom, do what you want.
Right, I'm not against that.
Right, for the NBA, I think Adam Silver has got to be hoping that Kawhi Leonard does not sign.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Favorite players when I was growing up, he had still one of the best all-time nicknames in the NBA. Certainly had one of the best posters. The Iceman sitting on the blocks of ice with the silver basketballs and all that. It's none other than George Iceman Gervin. Ice, how are you?
What's
Welcome
happening?
To the Odd Couple.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Man, all is good here.
It's great to have you on. And we're going to get to the big three in a moment. You're the coach of the Ghost Ballers. You guys play Sunday in Philadelphia versus Bivouac. That's a heck of a name, but that's the name of the team. That'll be on the CBS Sports Network. But I want to talk to you a little bit just about, you know, you as a basketball player and things like that. One thing that has interested me is that a lot of guys from your era or before, they kind of put down this era. It's all finesse. You can't hand check and too many three-pointers, so on and so forth. You actually think, though, that the NBA is better than ever. Talk to me about that.
Well, I mean, if you talk about basketball playing, obviously when we played back in the 70s and 80s, the game was played different. When I always say the game is greater than it has ever been, I mean, it's salaries. I mean, we're global. I mean, the game is really around the world. You know, you got a lot of Europeans playing the game. You know, when we played back in the 70s, it was probably about 5 or 6 European players. So the game has grown tremendously, and I feel good to be a part of the foundation to see the game has grown like it has. I mean, as a player, yes, they did put their hands on us. I think they played a lot more aggressive and physical, but days have changed. They want to see more scoring. They want to see the three-point shot. I think they're going to slip that four-point shot in there.
I hope not. Stop. Man, come on, George. No.
Don't suggest that.
I don't want to hear that.
Don't whisper that in Adam Silver's ear.
Hey, but they want to see scoring now. I mean, you know, the aspect of playing D is only in the playoffs. So, you know, the game changed. I mean, and we just got to live with it, man. I'm just proud to be part of the NBA family, and now I'm proud to be a part of the big three.
This is what I have to ask: how did you guys play in Chuck Taylors and those sneakers with no arch
shell? Adidas.
Seriously, you didn't even know better.
Converse.
Like the sneakers they play in now would be pillows on your feet. Am I right, George?
Hey, but you know you got to realize, man. I mean, we didn't know no better.
Right.
You know, I mean, you give us a pair of Converse. I mean, Converse came out pretty, or Adidas came out before Nike. You know, so that's all we had to play in. Puma was out there, you know, because Clyde wore it all the time.
Right.
Frazier. But, you know, the Converse, just was the shoe, man. I mean, yeah, you put it on today, you'd be saying, like, man, how I didn't add up
right.
playing in these shoes.
Right.
They are unbelievable. But the one thing I'll push back on you talk about the players and where the league has gone. The one thing I'm going to say, George, that I don't like is the lack of this AAU mentality, the lack of competition. We just saw the Warriors go to the NBA Finals 5 years in a row. and that hadn't happened since the 60s and the Celtics. Is that good for basketball when guys team up? Now we're hearing that maybe Kawhi Leonard's going to the Lakers to join LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Do you like that?
Well, you got to look at it yourself, though. It's the evolution of basketball now. Now, I may have had a chance to go play with the Lakers when Magic and them guys was playing, but I wanted to beat Magic and them.
Yes.
You know, that was my mentality. But
so you refused to go there. You had a chance to go there and didn't because you wanted to beat them?
Right. Wow. Well, that's how I came up, you know. I mean, I wanted the competition. I wanted to beat the best. I didn't want to join guys to make a super team. I mean, but you got to realize, too, man, these guys feel, man, without a championship, you know, to their name, they don't feel that, you know, their careers was, you know, satisfying. But I think that's misleading, man.
I think people
love to see guys going out and playing good basketball, man, and let your career live. Once you put 100% in, man, I think people will recognize and respect you, you know, for your career.
And we just saw Kawhi Leonard on a team with no lottery players, right, win a championship, right? They did it the old-fashioned way. They had a team. They swapped superstars and added players to the roster. Isn't that more satisfying? That, to me, seems like that would be more satisfying.
Well, I mean, for me, too. I mean, he come out of situation with San Antonio, join Toronto and say, hey, guys, let's put it together, man, and we can beat these guys, and they did. I think fans around the world love that idea, man. But, you know, a lot of these guys just want to go and, you know, and play with other superstars, man, and try to dominate the league, man. That aspect I don't like, but, again, I don't have any control over it.
It's the iCouple. We're joined by Hall of Famer George the Iceman Gervin. George, you played your first years in the ABA. And, I mean, the ABA, the list of Hall of Famers you had, Rick Barry.
It was a great league.
Dr. J, yourself, Moses Malone. I mean, you could go on and on down the line. During those early 70s and maybe even the late 60s when the ABA was in existence, which league was better? Honestly, was the ABA better or was the NBA better?
Well, I mean, the ABA was better because we were younger, we were funner, we were putting the ball in the hole, we was entertainment, and the NBA was walking the ball up the floor. I think in 1976, when we merged, we changed the face of the NBA. So, for me, the ABA was better.
Now, Hubie Brown once told me, because you remember, he coached in the ABA, he said you guys would play exhibitions against the NBA. And he said, I don't know if he was exaggerating or what, he said, you guys beat them two-thirds of the time.
We were better than the guys in the NBA because the guys in the NBA were slow, man. They played slow basketball.
Right.
You know what I mean? And we had a lot of 21s and 22-year-olds, man, that was hungry and wanted to be a part of the NBA. So anytime we had a chance to play them, you know, we tried to beat them in the ground, man. I mean, I still say the ABA, man, is really the foundation of the NBA today, man. I just believe that in all my heart.
Well, I mean, the only thing that I always would knock the ABA is just that red, white, and blue ball. You know, because it just didn't seem right. What was it?
It was another identity, man. Believe me. It went in just as many times
as that orange ball. No, I know you.
That's right.
I know you put it in. I do.
That's right.
But you
and it was pretty. You could really see the rotation.
Right.
Man.
Yes,
so
right.
It was a good shooting tool.
Well, I do think there's no doubt that ABA is the foundation of the modern NBA. I mean, from the cheerleaders to the dunk contest, like you said, the style of play. Everything
three
came
pointers,
in with the
right?
NBA. Three pointers.
Hey,
right?
it's played today like the ABA.
Yes.
Right.
That's what the ABA was compared.
Right.
Yep.
Well, look, tell us, Ice, about the Ghost Ballers. That's your team in the Big Three. How you guys play Philadelphia, as I said, against Bivouac or Saturday on the CBS – I'm sorry, Sunday on the CBS Sports Network, 5 p.m. Eastern time. How competitive is the Big Three, and how serious are guys taking this?
If you want to see old basketball back in the old days, man, that's how we play. We play hand checking. They play physical, man. You got guys that, you know, played in the league, and some could still play, or, you know how opportunities or things just happen. Guys got another opportunity to play in this league. It's a great league. It's a great league for guys that, you know, just want to continue to play. We get 14, 15,000 around the country.
That's great.
Because the fans want to see the guys of yesterday, because they may be tired of seeing the guys of today.
Just, I see you on your team, you got Mike Bibby, Ricky Davis, Carlos Boozer. Just make sure you don't let Carlos Boozer out of his contract. He might not come back.
Carlos is good for the league, man. I'm really looking forward to coming up in Philly, getting it done.
I'm just hoping they don't test for PEDs with Mike Bibby. I mean, he looked like a bodybuilder nowadays.
Man, he's so big.
Leave my point guard alone, man. He all right.
He needs to be on the block as big as he is.
All right.
Hey, Mike Bibby know how to play the game, man. That's what I love about it.
Nah, he was a very good player, no question.
And there he is, George Gervin, one of Detroit's finest right there.
All right, Iceman, thank you very much.
All right, man. Y'all come on out and see us.
We will. All right, see you.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. Are you ready?
Hope you can take the heat like LeBron.
We're going big.
It's go time.
It's Broussard's Big Six.
All right. These are the top six free agent signings in NBA history. At
number six,
Steve Nash to the Phoenix Suns, 2004. There aren't many free agent moves that change the legacy of an individual player as much as this one. LeBron, KD, Shaq, they would have been Hall of Famers and probably champions wherever they played, but not Steve Nash. If he doesn't go to Phoenix, link up with Coach Mike D'Antoni, it's a virtual certainty that Nash never wins two MVPs or becomes a first ballot Hall of Famer. Plus, the Nash D'Antoni combo revolutionized basketball by playing small ball and pushing the pace with its up-tempo 7 seconds or less offense that rely heavily on three-point shots.
Number five,
Chauncey Billups to Detroit, 2002. I know Rob likes this one.
Chauncey Billups.
If there is a move that changed an individual's legacy more than Nash's to Phoenix, it could be this one. After being selected third in the 97 draft, Billups struggled so badly that he played for four teams in his first four seasons. He was the very definition of the term bust, but Pistons GM Joe Dumars believed in Billups, signed him to a contract making $4.5 million a year. The rest is history. Billups became one of the best point guards in the league, leader of Bad Boys, the remix, and they won the championship over Shaq and Kobe in 2004.
Number four,
LeBron James to Miami in 2010. LeBron's move to Miami started the era of the player-generated Big Three, where players began discussing teaming up together and orchestrating moves to join forces. While the move netted LeBron his first two NBA titles, it could be considered a disappointment, especially after he boasted about winning not one, not two, not three,
not two,
all the way up to six.
Not four.
It was an
five.
Over-the-top celebration in Miami, and they delivered two championships in 4 years. Very good, but not historic.
Number three,
LeBron James again, going to Cleveland in 2014. Look, if a movie had been made portraying a hometown kid leaving his city's team, winning championships elsewhere, only to return to deliver the city its first major sports title in 52 years, it'd be viewed as too good, too storybook to be taken seriously. Especially if that team had become the first club in NBA history to rally from a 3-1 deficit to win the NBA Finals Cardinals against a record-setting 73-win Goliath in Golden State, no less. But that's exactly what happened when LeBron returned to Cleveland to win his third title and capture really the greatest overall achievement of his NBA career.
Number two.
Kevin Durant to Golden State in 2016.
Wow.
As my partner Rob Parker always says, if LeBron's move to Miami was MySpace, then Durant going to Golden State was Facebook. KD took a page from LeBron's book and stacked the decks even more than LeBron did when he went to Miami. That gave King James a sour dose of his own medicine. This turned the already formidable Warriors into an unbeatable force and ruined the league's competitive balance as Golden State stormed its way to two straight titles. Durant was widely criticized for the move, but he also made a case for being the best player in the world by winning two finals MVPs.
Number one.
Shaquille O'Neal to the L.A. Lakers in 1996. Shaq left Orlando, teamed with a rookie straight out of high school named Kobe Bryant, to form what would arguably become the greatest duo in NBA history. The Shaq-Kobe Lakers won three straight titles from 99 to 02, joining LeBron or Jordan's Bulls and Bill Russell's Celtics as the only teams in NBA history to three-peat. As dominant as they were, though, they undoubtedly left rings on the table in their 8 years together because they couldn't get along. What you think of that, Rob?
Rack 'em. It was a rack 'em. That was good.
You like that?
And you did have the good teams in it. No, no, no. The Chauncey thing was right spot on.
I knew you would like that.
And even LeBron coming back to Cleveland, that was an unrealistic expectation to
happen. If there's a movie, you'd be like, please.
Right.
There's no way.
It would be a Walt Disney movie.